Why? That's a question all of us have asked in one form or another. You saw some of the why questions there. And I thought we'd take the next 4 weeks and take a look at some of those why questions that we've all asked. We're going to look over the next 4 weeks at some of life's deepest questions, beginning with why. We're going to look today at God and suffering. Next week, we're going to talk about why God doesn't answer our prayers. After that, we're going to talk about how we can know God's will, or why can't we figure out what God's will is, and so forth. What I'm going to share with you are my thoughts and my beliefs and my understandings of these things over 16 years of ministry as a pastor to God's people with three different churches. I think these are questions that all of us are going to wrestle with if we haven't already, but we really need to wrestle with to really try to get a better understanding of God and what God has to say and what Scripture has to say about suffering in this particular case this week. I believe the Bible does give us guidance in all of these questions that we're going to be asking ourselves, but we're very limited in time today. We could spend hours and hours exploring these questions and trying to understand, you know, what we're going to try to dig into today and for the next 4 weeks. One of the things that we need to look at is to challenge some of the assumptions and beliefs that a lot of people have, non-Christians as well as Christians. We need to challenge some of those assumptions that are so prevalent in our culture today. A lot of people believe that the Bible teaches that as long as we're a good person, as long as we try to do the right things and be helpful to people, that we'll not have suffering in our lives, that we'll live a trouble-free life, that God will somehow bless us if we're good enough. That is just so wrong. That is not what my Bible teaches me. The Bible, if you'll look at it very closely, you'll see God's people have suffered from the beginning with Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his own family as a young person. And then the Israelites suffering in Egypt for 400 years as slaves. Moses got so frustrated and so exhausted and so frustrated, I guess is the word, with God's people, that he asked God to slay him. And then, of course, there are the prophets who suffered because they had to tell the truth. They had to forewarn or at least tell the people in control about how things were going to be, and God was not pleased with them, and so they suffered. Needless to say, Jesus himself suffered on the cross, a horrible death for our sake. Another assumption is to challenge the things that we say, that some people say, and perhaps we've said these things ourselves too. Although we mean well when we say them, do we really truly understand what it means? Like when we're trying to encourage someone going through a hard time and say to them, well, it must have been God's will. Think about that. Or, all things happen for a reason. Well, if we're talking about cause and effect, that is exactly right, and that makes sense, and that's true. But if we're saying these terrible tragedies happen for a reason, to serve some higher purpose of God, what does that make God out to be? A monster. We're going to talk about that a little bit today and look at some of the causes of suffering. But we have to be very careful when we say things like, it must have been God's will that this tragedy happened, or that tragedy happened, or this bad thing that happened was God's will. We have to be very careful with that. Many people say that, well, if God is so loving and so kind and generous and benevolent, why does he allow these things to happen? Are these questions making sense? Are these things that you've heard in your life and probably maybe even have said, you know, how can a a powerful, loving, compassionate God allow things like this to happen? And I see some heads nodding out there today. And I'm hoping that we can all learn from this. But what impression does it give to people, especially those who do not know God, or who are seeking answers to their hard questions? What kind of impression do these kinds of things make on people who do not know God? And we're trying to show them a God of love and caring and compassion. I've been reading a book by Adam Hamilton entitled Why? Making Sense of God's Will. And I have a great deal of respect for Pastor Hamilton. He's the pastor of Church of the Resurrection out in Leawood, Kansas. And he's written this book recently called Why? And he's really helped me get a handle on suffering and answered prayer and knowing God's will. And I encourage you to get that book if you are so led. You can download it on your Kindle these days and so forth. So it's a great book. And I just want to share some of the things which I have to say amen to. And it's really helped me as a pastor clarify why bad things happen to good people. On the back of your bulletin, there's also a place where you can write in, fill in the blanks and take some notes too. So I just hope you'll join me and be patient with me as I try to unpack this in this very limited time that we have to go into some very deep things. First of all, we want to talk about suffering caused by natural disasters. Think of the natural disasters that we have seen just over the past year. Bless you. But over the past, couple of years. But I think we have to go back to Scripture first and talk about, the earth and creation and what God established in the beginning. In Genesis 1, chapter 27 through 28, God says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. God gave humanity the responsibility of what happens on this earth to a point. We are responsible for caring for the earth and the water and the air and all the natural resources and what takes place on this earth. God has given us not the animals, not the creatures, but humanity. God created this earth. Whether you believe in the Big Bang theory or creation or quantum physics or evolution, God is behind it all. We, as God's people, believe that God is the one that created this from the beginning. There had to be an intelligence, and we know that intelligence to be, God. But he also put into motion certain natural laws and physical laws, like gravity. Certain things have to happen on this earth in order to sustain life upon this earth. Take, for example, earthquakes. There's a picture of the tsunami and earthquakes. Tsunamis are as a result of an earthquake. Do you realize that earthquakes come from the shifting of tectonic plates in the earth's crust? Deep inside the earth, it's like a boiler. And it's like a machine that's constantly heating and cooling and heating and cooling. And sometimes that heat rises and it gets to the surface. And that heat has to go back down into the magma. And when this crust is, and I'm not a geologist, believe me, I don't understand these things totally. But I do know that tectonics plates shift. And when those plates bump into each other, guess what? There's pressure, pressure, pressure. And then boom, all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. And then the tsunami is the wave created by the earthquake. It's a natural process that happens so that the earth can be sustained and that life can be sustained on the earth. It's all part of how this earth was made and how God created this earth. And so when earthquakes happen, people die sometimes because they build homes in areas that are known to be earthquake fissures and fault lines. Hurricanes and tornadoes are all part of the air conditioning system, the cooling system, if you will, of our planet. When these hurricanes spin off from the east coast, west coast of Africa and they move towards the United States and the Caribbean, it's all part of the cooling system of our planet. And so when people build their homes on the ocean front or build their homes in these areas where these waves come through, people are going to die. natural disasters are part of what sustains this planet. And so many people say, well, when we look at pictures like this, and they'll say, where was God in Hurricane Katrina? How could God allow things like this to happen? Well, these things have been happening billions and billions of years. And long before human beings started building their homes in the delta of Mississippi or on the San Andreas Fault and on the ocean fronts and whatnot. And so we wonder, you know, where's God in the midst of these disasters? I'll tell you where God is in the midst of these disasters. He is with the people who are there helping the people who have suffered. When the United Methodist Church and other churches call for volunteers in mission to go to Haiti, to go to the Midwest, to go to various places that have suffered natural disasters, that is God's call to help people help other people. When God wants to bring hope and help to others, God sends people. He doesn't send legions of angels from heaven to come down and clean up the mess and to help people. God sends you and I. And so we know that suffering is caused by natural disasters, and natural disasters are just that. They're natural. They're part of how this earth is made. And sometimes people get in the way. Let's not blame God for the natural disasters. Let's just be available when the call comes to help someone. It could happen here someday, living here on the coast. We could be inundated. We could be struck by a hurricane any day. There's also suffering caused by human decisions, choices. Think about suffering caused by choices and decisions people make. God gave us that freedom in the beginning. Going back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat of any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." Folks, sometimes suffering happens because we make bad choices. And other people make bad choices that cause injury and hurt and pain and suffering to others. Sometimes we choose wrongly, and it causes suffering. You know, I've stopped to stop and think about this. God took an awful risk, did he not, by giving us free will? God took an awful, awful risk in giving us the ability to choose right or wrong. God also gave humanity dominion over the earth, as we've said, and freedom to choose good over evil. But if God did not give us that freedom to choose, how would things be? If God did not give us free will, what would we be? We would be puppets. We would be like marionettes. We would not have the freedom, and we would be like pawns on a chessboard where God could move us and shape things the way he wanted them. But that's not how God wanted this to be. He wanted a people who could love him in return, and people to have freedom to choose him or to reject him. But with this freedom, there is the predisposition in all humanity to sin. We don't like to talk about sin, but sometimes we sin, and we have that bent towards sinning. And so some of our decisions, some of our choices leads to tyrants and dictators. Adolf Hitler came to mind off the top of my head. Saddam Hussein, other dictators and tyrants of history that have caused immense pain and suffering in this world. We had two world wars because of tyrants and dictators who wanted to control people. We had the Holocaust of World War II back in the 40s because one person wanted to rule the world and to exterminate a whole ethnic group of people, the Jews. 6 million Jews died as a result of Adolf Hitler's choice to to make the Third Reich the power of the world, and Japan, in the same sense, trying to conquer the Pacific. 6 million Jews, altogether over 11 million people, actually died at the hands of the Nazis.